In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? In chapters 1 to 39, Isaiah writes about the stormy events of his time, marking the expansion of the Assyrian Empire and the decline of Israel. In 721 BC, the Northern Kingdom fell. In 701 BC, Jerusalem was preserved from the Assyrian threat, but the Babylonian captivity of the Southern Kingdom in 586 BC is predicted. Do you not know? Have you not heard? With chapter 40, Isaiah's vision shifts forward over 100 years into the land of Babylon, where the children of Judah have languished so long in exile that they have given up hope of returning to their homeland. Despair has overtaken them with the thought that God has canceled his covenant with them and abandoned them because of their sins. In response to their need, God speaks directly through his prophet Isaiah to reveal the other side of his character. They had seen his holiness, which exposed their sin, and his justice, which required their punishment in exile. Now God shows them his creative power and his redemptive love. Do you not know? Have you not heard? In these climactic verses of chapter 40 just read, the everlasting God, the Lord, assures them of his power to take them home to Jerusalem and his grace to renew their relationship with him. Put yourself for a moment in the place of the children of Israel in Babylonian exile, the generation of people who remembered the homeland of Judah and the city of Jerusalem had died. Without the vision of Zion, the second generation of deportees had only the prophet's word of God's promise upon which to depend. Countering this unfulfilled promise, each day they awakened to see the grandeur and the power of Babylon. Moreover, many of the exiles had exercised an entrepreneurial genius in this commercial world to become wealthy and secure merchants. To think of leaving Babylon on a 700-mile march through treacherous terrain and taking only the possessions that could be carried on the back or in a cart was a risk that provoked second thoughts. Sound familiar to the temptation away from God's promises alive in our own culture today? Underneath the temptation to remain in Babylon lurked fears that had to be overcome before faith in the promise of God could take hold. The exiles needed comfort for their fear as much as for their doubts. Comfort came through the words of the prophet Isaiah. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. The gods of the Babylonians that are a part of the natural creation, such as the astrological gods of the stars, are a threat to the people in exile. Using the same questions that he asked about the graven images, God again invites the conversation and the comparison. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? The same argument is used to dispel the children of Israel's fear of graven images. God asks them to look up at the stars and realize that by his power, he created them, named them, and perfected them in a system where none is missing. Astrology is still an attractive substitute of the Lord of the universe. New Age adherents mix astrology with the ingredients of the world religions, and everyone is curious to read their horoscope or to share the sayings of fortune cookies in a Chinese restaurant. Fascination with the stars is a natural impulse, but if the creation is worshipped rather than the creator, astrology is idolatry. Perhaps the exiles had read the stars and received negative vibrations about the return to Jerusalem. God lets them know that he is the transcendent and holy one who created, controls, and cares for the stars. Marshaling throughout chapter 40 the facts of his transcendence over nations, graven images, rulers, and even the stars, the Lord asked one more question of the exiles. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Once again, he asked them to remember what they have heard and what they have known. He, the Lord of Jacob and the Holy One of Israel, is also the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. His power never weakens or grows weary, and his understanding is perfect. With that declaration of his omnipotence and omniscience, God offers to the exiles the final resolution of their fears about the return to Jerusalem. He will exchange his power for their weakness and his strength for their weariness. When he does, their energy will exceed the vigor of youth. If they are willing to trust God for the timing and the strength to fulfill his promise, then they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. By God's great exchange, their weakness will be renewed by his omnipotent strength, and their fears will be relieved by his omniscient understanding. They were now ready for that 700-mile walk home. Do you not know? Have you not heard? In a subsequent chapter, Isaiah foresaw that God would come forth in the form of a servant who would take upon himself the sin of the world and would give his innocence to each of us in exchange. Chapter 40 is an overture to the full sympathy of the 53rd chapter. The God that we confess as creator of heaven and earth is also the author of our salvation. Do you not know? Have you not heard? In a subsequent chapter, being written today 2,700 years later, the promise remains true. Strength comes to those who at any time wait in patience for God's purposes to be carried out. Two pictures from our day to illustrate, drawing from Isaiah's imagery. In my study at home hangs a picture that was given to me by my daughter some 4 years ago when I was preparing for my journey from St. Louis to Fort Wayne. It pictures an eagle with outstretched wings, and the caption in the middle are these verses from Isaiah. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It serves as a daily reminder to me that my weakness gives way to God's strength as I venture forth from the nest of my home each day. A second picture, taken from an event upon which the attention of the world is riveted, the Olympics. There, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But the promise from Isaiah is those who wait upon the Lord, however, will not only fly, they will also run and walk. Thus, the entirety of their life will be one in which they will prevail and go on from strength to strength. Running does not bring tiredness, nor do they become faint when they walk on and on. And in this word, we have encouragement for those who visit this community this week and those who dwell therein. Pray each day that the promises of Isaiah may be applied in your lives. Pray that he would give you strength for your study, for your vicarage, for your placement in the office, and for your service in the office of the Holy Ministry. His promise to Isaiah, his promise to those in exile, and his promise to us now is that I, the Lord, daily renew the strength of all that is weary and without strength. Even though the powerful lose their strength and break down, those who rest their trust in me daily get new strength, and in their life's journey, in victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.